Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. First, the NBA came to town with the arrival of the Charlotte Hornets. The Carolina Panthers made us an NFL city. The Knights returned from exile in Fort Mill to give downtown Charlotte a brush with America's pastime. Minor league soccer seems to have rounded things out, but it seems for many, that's not enough. They want a major league soccer team here. Well, we got close once before, at least for as far as Charlotte paving the way to invite that league in, but that bid fell apart when government officials voted against putting public money toward a stadium. But Major League Soccer is expanding. They intend to grow by one team in each of the next 3 years, and that will bring the total number of teams to 27. But where the 28th team will be located is still anyone's guess. Enter Panthers owner David Tepper. He has the money to buy or start a team, and he doesn't need public money for a stadium. He already has one, and he's interested in the sport. He says he and MLS are actively talking about the possibility. So let's get on our kit, get out on the pitch, and kick this thing around for an hour. Joining us to talk about the possible intersection of Charlotte and Major League Soccer is Jim McPhillamy, president of the Charlotte Independents, our United Soccer League team. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. He is in our Spirit Square studio along with Eric Spanberg, who is here on a daily basis. He's the managing editor at the Charlotte Business Journal. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you, Mike. I'm glad you did not punt the puns this morning.
Thank you. Yes. I had to look a lot of the stuff up. And with us via Skype is, or on the phone, I guess, is Charles Bohm, who writes this about soccer for MLSsoccer.com, Soccer Wire, and other publications. Thank you for being here, too.
Pleasure to be with you today.
And Charles, let me begin with you. The 28th team that I mentioned may or may not be up in the air. I heard that Sacramento is in the running. Is that still the case?
As best we can tell at this point, Sacramento and St. Louis are the two leading contenders for the 28th slot in MLS. St. Louis has a great soccer culture and history and is trying to get getting their ducks in a row for a stadium project near downtown, and Sacramento has been shovel ready for some time. They have a thriving USL team and a stadium plan in place, so they are looking like a strong contender, but nothing is official as yet on 28.
So am I hearing you say that St. Louis and Sacramento are vying for the same position essentially?
Yes.
So if one of
and I would point out too, like there are other markets in the running. But the general reporting that we have now suggests that those two are the front runners.
So if one of the front runners, or any of the other cities for that matter, were to get that team other than Charlotte, would that put a stop to this dream of ours?
No. Short answer is no. It would simply defer it a bit. We're still awaiting guidance from Commissioner Don Garber as to what the expansion beyond 28 teams might look like. He has sort of discussed it in general terms that it's possible that the league would grow beyond 28. I think it's highly likely that the league goes further to 30, maybe even 32, maybe even beyond. But that would the timeline would get extended out a few more years, possibly the better part of a decade. We'll have to wait and see what that looks like.
Doesn't Major League Baseball have 29 teams?
All three leagues are baseball and basketball are at 30.
Okay.
NFL is at 32.
Okay.
But what I was going to mention, following on what Charles is saying, is Don Garber, the Major League Soccer commissioner that he was referencing, has several times said, we'll stop at this number, and then they go a little higher, and then they go a little higher. And that's because of the popularity of the league and the success of the league. But also, at present, if you join Major League Soccer, you pay $150 million, and of course, the investors in Major League Soccer share in that. This is not unusual. Sports leagues enjoy the benefits of expansion when able, so I think that it's very likely they'll go to 30 or 32.
Remind us that you're the local reporter guy, business reporter guy. Remind us how long we have been trying to woo Major League Soccer to Charlotte.
So this really started in 2016. There was a conference call that Major League Soccer conducted with reporters late in the year, and they mentioned Charlotte and Marcus Smith, who is the head of the Charlotte Motor Speedway and Speedway Motorsports, as an interested suitor. That's where it really got a lot of attention. But, of course, the gentleman sitting across from me, Mr. McPhillamy, has been interested in MLS and talked to them as a future market for years before that. So this has what, Jim, at least a 4 or 5 year shelf life?
Yeah, we started in 2014 talking to those guys when we acquired the Charlotte Eagles USL spot. And that's, you know, that's been part of our stated intention all along, was to help bring an MLS team to town. Obviously, I don't have the net worth to do it on my own, but we, you know, try to support other people that do, as long as they treat us fairly in the process.
I want to talk to you about that, because if this were to happen, I'm curious what you think would happen to your team, which you already own. But uncloud the cloudiness here, because how many efforts have there been? Because it's kind of indistinct. You've been in conversations. We've had the Bruton Smith situation.
Right. How many efforts? So those are really the two efforts. And now you have – let me just say this. After the Marcus Smith effort came unraveled that you referenced with the government money – everyone pretty much thought this was on hold for a long time.
Right.
Then David Tepper buys the Carolina Panthers. He also happens to be worth, $12 billion. And as soon as he buys the team, he says in a press conference, you know, Major League Soccer would be a good fit for Charlotte. And that got everyone's attention.
That was the day after he bought the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
That got everyone's attention, particularly in New York at Major League Soccer headquarters, and the league quickly said, oh, Charlotte, yeah, we're very interested. And so now I think there's a new momentum, not just because of the money, Mike, but also the fact that you have the cachet of an NFL owner, which has been a very powerful argument in other cases.
So was the stumbling block here the lack of money or the lack of a stadium in which to play? Because the reason they shut down the effort the last time was because the county commission decided not to give money to build a soccer-style stadium at where Memorial Stadium is.
Yeah, and I'm going to answer this and give Jim a chance to speak, because he was the guy caught in the middle. But essentially what happened was the Independents had pretty much struck a deal to renovate Memorial Stadium for the minor league soccer team, the Independents, to go play there. Then this MLS issue cropped up. Marcus Smith starts leading a bid. And I think that the best way to explain the collapse of that deal is that simply local government was not willing to pay as much of the freight as Marcus Smith wanted them to. And so once that came unraveled, then, like I said, it really went dormant. Jim and the Independents continued on with their effort. The county decided to pick up the Memorial Stadium renovation aimed at minor league soccer and other events. And then, lo and behold, David Tepper arrives. And here's the big difference, Mike, as you mentioned at the top. Not only does he have a stadium, he doesn't want a new stadium, or at least he hasn't said. Right. He may want a new stadium, but he's not asking for one in regards to MLS.
So, Jim, you own several teams. You own the Charlotte's minor league lacrosse team, the Hounds. You own the Charlotte's minor league soccer team, the Independents. Any others that have left off the list so far?
Well, we're looking at a women's NWSL soccer team.
So unless your ownership organization is going to be part of any major league soccer effort, or unless you can pony up the money yourself, the $150 million or whatever it is, why do you want major league soccer to come here? Won't this crush you?
Well, personally, yes.
an honest man on this program.
I was
going to
say, that's the most honest answer.
when we started the company way back when, I think it was 2011, and it was just me and another employee on the couch in my family room, we sat there and we wrote down what our mission was going to be, and it's in our office, and it says to make Charlotte a better place through sports. And that's what we're here to do.
So it's pretty altruistic, though, when you would lose whatever investment you have in the
I didn't say I said that, you know, from a big picture standpoint, that's what we're here to do, right? So I think we're going to build a really good venue just half mile from here.
Right.
And the county's been great to work with on that. And it's going to be a perfect size venue for a USL team. It could be a perfect size venue for an NWSL women's soccer team. It could be a great for a rugby team. It could be great for a lot of things that don't draw 50,000 people to a game, right? So the way I look at it is if soccer comes in you know, major league soccer, I'm not out of the game. I'll just shift. Shift what I'm doing. Okay. Right?
Charles, you mentioned the league is growing because of the growing popularity of soccer. What's driving the growth in the popularity of soccer?
Ooh, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's a tough question to distill down into a short answer. But we have, I think what you have is that the wider popularity of the sport across this country is finally, which, you know, hundreds of millions, according to some research, of Americans are interested in soccer or follow it as their primary sport or play it or their kids play it. The question has always been sort of converting that into regular attendance market by market across the top division in MLS. So I think what we're seeing lately is it's becoming a more inviting investment. As the league has grown, it's become more dynamic. It's grown the footprint of the league and the media presence of the league has grown. And for example, the situation in Charlotte, I think those watching that can learn a lot from the Atlanta case. Atlanta was seen as a really kind of a treacherous market. It had not really supported a lower division team over a long period of time. And then Arthur Blank came in as an expansion owner with Atlanta United. He committed enormous amounts of resources, made a real commitment to it, and showed that even in an NFL-sized venue in a tricky sports market, with the right approach, the right marketing, the right commitment from an owner, that it could be really big time. And, you know, they fill up Mercedes-Benz Stadium almost to the extent that the Falcons do.
Well, let's talk about that, because Mercedes-Benz Stadium is like a space saucer from they played the Super Bowl there. Yes. This year, and I'd never seen it before because I don't watch the Falcons.
Yeah.
And that stadium is amazing. So I'm wondering if part of the appeal of the Atlanta soccer thing, the success of it, is that people just want to go to that stadium, and it's less than to get into the Falcons, one would presume, and probably you can get a ticket.
And baseball just moved to the suburbs.
Yeah, okay. True.
How much of it is the appeal of wanting to be in that building?
Certainly that building is appealing. By the way, Mike, if you have a spare $1 billion or two, you can build a really nice
yes.
house, is what I would say. But when the team started, they originally were playing at Georgia Tech outdoors in that school's football stadium, and they were filling it up. There is some appeal to the stadium, but I also think one of the things that Atlanta did especially well is that they built a grassroots following before the team even started playing. That's a hard thing to do. Jim can tell you about the reason these scarves are here, and in part is because soccer has as much ritual and singing all these traditions that you see at the European matches. That's a big part of it. Atlanta tapped into that.
Because before the team came to Atlanta, Charles, Creative Loafing Atlanta pointed out that Atlanta had been called the worst sports town in America because outside of the Braves and the Falcons, no one cared. But last October, the Atlanta United, their team, set a series, of Major League Soccer records for season attendance. They had an average of 53,000 people per game. Nearly 72,000 came out for the home finale, the regular season home finale. Can you extrapolate that out? Because Eric talked about how they laid the groundwork for popularity of Major League Soccer in Atlanta. Do you think you've done the same thing for a team that might come here? Can we look at similar figures down the road, do you think?
Look, I think if David Tepper does something, I think they can have huge success because of the location. If they do it in, you know, Bank of America Stadium, that's a great location. Where we're out in Matthews, you know, 13 miles from here, I'm challenged right now. Right. We mainly get soccer families.
Okay.
And, right
now. Think that will change when it moves downtown?
Yes.
Yes. Just like the baseball situation changed when
exactly.
it came to Fort Mill.
Exactly.
We have to take a break. We'll talk more about soccer and its impending arrival. See how optimistic I am.
You are.
Okay.
Net gain.
When we come back, it's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Major League Soccer. Will it come here and efforts to bring it here? Jim McPhillamy has been involved in those efforts in the past. He's the president of our minor league soccer team, the Charlotte Independents. He's brought scarves. They're wonderful scarves, by the way. And you're right, Eric Spanberg from the Business Journal, about the traditions that are a part of football,
yes,
in Europe, not that's soccer, right. Football.
You're correct.
Charles Boehm is also with us. He's a writer for MLSsoccer.com and SoccerWire, as well as other publications. Just before the break, Jim, I said, asked you a question. You gave a very simple answer to. I said, will your attendance improve if when you move downtown? Yes was the answer. And I said, off the air, why? Because it seems to me that's where kids play soccer, out in the suburbs. That's where the soccer moms are, out in the suburbs. You're saying that's not true.
No, I think if you look even at MLS attendance, the teams that are located in suburbs that are relying on the soccer families, which are notoriously hard to get, they have all kinds of activities that they're going to. They're busy, right? Yeah. But you know who's not busy is the millennial population who's off work at 6:30. They're going to go grab a couple pints, and then they're going to come to your game at 7:30. And that's the audience that's really driving a lot of the hysteria and support for soccer, especially in the supporters groups, for MLS teams and USL teams. Mm-hmm. So at all levels, you're really trying to attract that audience that we now have uptown in Charlotte.
Mike, let me tell you real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me tell you how devious this man is when it comes to those younger fans, those young professionals. He has beer kegs, beer taps, in his team offices over on Elizabeth Avenue. So he is already stoking the fire for when they get to Memorial Stadium.
We have an active bar that's just a couple blocks from the stadium.
Does the ABC board know about this?
Yes. Okay. We have an actual liquor license. The whole front third of my office is an actual operating bar.
Junior Johnson is not involved.
Well, good for you. What do you hear from fans about what they like about this? Because the popularity of soccer has gone from zero in this country to where it is today, and it seems to be growing rapidly. I remember in the 70s getting a pair of tickets to go see Pele play at where the Redskins play back then. I can't remember the name of the stadium.
RFK Stadium. Yes.
And I went, and I sat there in the sun and broiled, and I thought, no, football is better because it's cooler. but it was fairly packed, but that was an unusual experience because Pele was playing.
Right.
What's the experience like? What do you hear from fans about what they like about the experience?
Well, look, I think it takes 12 months of acclimation. If you look at Cincinnati, which now has an MLS team, is packing it, right? They're just packing the place. We were one of the first teams to play there. The fans cheered at all the wrong times. They had no idea what the hell was going on right at the beginning. And then when you go back a year later, they're informed fans and they know what's going on with the sport. And I think it's just one of those things that you need to, take an active interest in, and you can pick it up pretty quick. It's a spectacular sport just from a pure passion play.
So let me get Charles Boehm's impressions of what, from the 30,000-foot level, of what Major League Soccer is looking for. What do they look for in the city? What are they looking for in the way of an owner or an ownership group?
So they've laid out a number of criteria over the years. They want to see a market that has a history of interest in soccer, of supporting soccer, of attending soccer events in numbers. They want to see a committed ownership that has wealth, because there are MLS teams making money, but the league in general is in a growth mode, so you need to be prepared to spend specifically on infrastructure, for example, on training facilities, possibly stadiums, that sort of thing. And they want to see, in most cases, but not necessarily universally, either an appropriate soccer-oriented facility, a stadium of some kind, or a plan to get to one. So that's kind of the general roadmap. Now, it's been a little bit customized here and there because every situation is different. Again, there was a lot of nervousness about Atlanta because it was perceived to be this big NFL stadium where a soccer crowd might rattle around in there. Mm-hmm. and not create a positive visual, a great experience. But, Atlanta United kind of blew that out of the water. You see the Seattle Sounders play in the same stadium as the Seahawks, so I think that's encouraging for Charlotte and the Bank of America concept there. And I think you want to see, again, an ownership group that has not only the means but the ambition and the kind of the vision to do what you guys are describing in Cincinnati and Atlanta.
Mike, I would mention a couple things with what's going on in Charlotte. The first is David Tepper hired a team president last year named Tom Glick. He had been working in the English Premier League, which is the top soccer circuit in the world. So he's very familiar with how soccer works. He had also helped that team start an MLS franchise in New York. Mm. That gives you some clues as to how he might be thinking about this. The second thing is, just this morning, there is an event called the International Champions Cup. It's a series of exhibitions in a tournament format that brings all of the most popular teams from around the world, Liverpool and Arsenal and all these teams, to play matches in the United States. And Charlotte has had matches 4 of the past 5 years and will have another match coming up this summer. So one of 12 cities, that shows you that the track record here has been pretty good. Now, as Jim will tell you, there's a big difference between hosting one match a year and hosting 17, 18 matches, whatever it is in MLS. But there is at least a little bit of a track record.
So let's get back to something Charles just said. They're looking for infrastructure and practice facilities. We've just heard from Mr. Tepper that he would like to move the Panthers' headquarters and practice facilities to South Carolina to spread the wealth, so to speak, but also to get something new. And he's putting in this temporary practice bubble on the practice field here downtown. Is part of this, perhaps, that he needs to expand the practice facilities so he can bring a soccer league to town?
Well, I think that you'll certainly see the two paired. The governor of South Carolina a couple weeks ago when we were all down there to hear him speak said that soccer could be part of that. He was referring to a training center. Just this week, the South Carolina legislature has voted in favor of moving those incentives along a fast track. So I think the answer is yes, that if MLS comes here, the team would play at Bank of America Stadium, and they would have a training center as part of what the Panthers are doing or right next to what mm-hmm. the Panthers are doing. That would be my guess.
Okay. Does MLS consider the president of the presence, Charles, of an NFL and an NBA team a plus?
Ooh, it's a good question, and I would say there's no straight answer to it. In some cases, there's limited amounts of oxygen, you know, in a given sporting market. Everybody's competing for the same sporting dollars in a general sense. So you see a lot of success in places like Portland, for example. The Portland Timbers are one of the best supported teams in the league, partly because of history and culture in that market, but also because they only have the Trailblazers and University of Oregon down the street to compete with. But again, these paradigms shift and change over time. Atlanta really changed that paradigm in terms of what they've been able to do. So I think, again, the NFL connection matters in terms of ownership. And you look, there's a lot of overlap between NFL owners and MLS owners, Bob Kraft, Arthur Blank, and maybe a couple others that flip my mind at the moment. So there's no pat answer. But I think Charlotte's shaping up to be a promising situation there with maybe one or two lingering questions.
Does the league look at the relative success of any minor league soccer team in a city or a region as a barometer of how major league soccer might fare if they arrived here or anywhere for that matter?
Definitely. You know, USL team is the USL has been laid out as sort of the anteroom or the first step to build your case as a soccer market now. But again, as your other guests can explain, there's definitely different angles to this. So the venue counts for a lot, the location, where it lives. Again, you could never have predicted Atlanta United's success based on how they supported the Silverbacks, which is the NASL and other leagues, you know, the team that predated United. So certainly it's a way to build your case. But I think the league's leadership recognizes that every scenario is different in that regard. Mm.
Charlotte does not have, Jim, a Major League Baseball team, but we do have a very successful minor league team that became incredibly successful once they moved across the border and built their ballpark in downtown Charlotte. People go there, I think, for the experience, and they've kind of gotten into the whole thing, and they do very well in terms of attendance. You're going to bring your games on the other side of uptown from where the ballpark is, exactly on the other side of uptown. When that happens, I know you anticipate greater attendance, but what would it be like? How would the fan experience change if they love your team and they love the experience at your games, and suddenly we get this MLS team. Would it change substantially? Would they be more attracted to the major leagues?
You know, I don't know how that would play out. Obviously, it would hurt us. You know, realistically, we would never play a mile away from a major league soccer team. It just would. It would be mutually assured self-destruction. It would hurt them and it would hurt us.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't do that. I think the being the little guy in the room, you know, if we've talked to those guys, if something comes down, do we have to find another home? Hey, maybe Matthews is our permanent home, right? You could do, or, you know, if they build a really nice training facility, you move to Rock Hill or wherever that's going to be, whatever.
One of the things that makes minor league baseball attractive, one of the things that makes, I would think, your team attractive is that it's not as expensive as a Panther game or a Hornets game or a Major League Soccer game for that matter. How much more will the tickets go up if we get a Major League Soccer team? How much more will it be than attending an Independence game?
Yeah, well, it's a lot more. So that's a slot that we do fit into nicely, is that we provide affordable entertainment versus something that's a lot harder to afford for the average Joe.
How do you measure Charlotte's appetite, Eric, for this? Do you measure it by talking to business people? Do you measure it by talking to fans, government officials? How do you measure?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all those things. I mean, one of the things that's interesting, Mike, is you asked that question about minor league success. You know, on the one hand, you can look at what Jim and the Independents have done, and they've had, I don't know, a couple thousand fans a night usually, right? And you say, well, that's not that many people. But remember, they've been slogging it out at temporary stadiums. They've moved. They've done all these things. So they basically are establishing the foothold. And then when you look at the marketing power and the money of someone like David Tepper in Major League Soccer, and you look at the population growth, and you look at particularly the growth among that audience that Jim is talking about, those millennials, I think all those things add up to a pretty good chance of success. Nothing is ever guaranteed. I think Atlanta is an outlier, not just in the Southeast, but in the country. There aren't many of those circumstances. But the league average is 22,000 fans a game in MLS, Mike. If you get 15,000 fans pretty consistently, you can have a pretty good team, I think.
As I understand it, Jim, your team, you, have the right of first refusal if MLS expands.
Oh,
is
no,
that right?
That's not correct. No, nope.
Not correct.
No, no.
Where did I read that?
That might have been, who knows, that could be an old rule, but
okay.
that's not the correct deal. Now, we do have the exclusive rights to play pro soccer in Memorial Stadium.
Okay.
So if you're playing a pro match in Memorial Stadium, I either have to give you permission to do it or I'm doing it myself.
Okay. Charles, in what cities, aside from the city whose name should not be mentioned in Charlotte, in what cities does Major League Soccer do really, really well?
Well, so the in terms of sheer numbers, Atlanta and Seattle lead the pack, and again, a big function of that.
You did it again.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I thought Raleigh was the one I couldn't name. But
depends on the day.
those two are in NFL-sized venues, so obviously their capacity is larger. The standard model around the league is to have a more compact, intimate soccer-specific stadium of anywhere from 18,000 to 25,000 seats. So then, when you kind of move down a level from the NFL size stadiums that are and the teams that are able to fill them up, you have two teams that are doing pretty well in LA, LAFC and the LA Galaxy. You have two teams in New York who have very different circumstances. NYCFC is in Yankee Stadium, which is not perfect, but they draw pretty well because of the location. And then the New York Red Bulls have a gorgeous stadium out in the Jersey suburbs, just across the river in Harrison, but don't necessarily draw as well as they should. And then you've got the Cascadia teams, Seattle, Vancouver, and Portland, again, capitalizing not only on their markets, but the history and the culture there. They all do really well and are kind of have an outsized influence, I would say, and a place within the league.
So how expensive are the games? What does it cost to go to a game in those cities? What does it cost to buy a beer at the stadium in those cities, or a box of, a hot dog or whatever?
The average ticket price, Charles, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the average ticket price is around $30 for MLS right now. Is that right?
Yeah, I would hesitate to confirm that, but that sounds right to me, just offhand. But there's a big variance here again because you have so many different circumstances. In some places, you have teams that are paying off a stadium lease or a stadium mortgage that have that overhead they're carrying. In other places, again, down south of you guys, they have the benefit of an NFL stadium that lets them not necessarily charge what they have to. They're able, you know, sharing that big NFL venue lets them keep a low barrier to entry, and they really changed the game with their concessions, not just in MLS, but across professional sports by having the value options that they have there, where you can get a hot dog for $1.50 and a domestic beer for, I think, $5. So, you know, there's a full gamut. You can get your $15 microbrew, you know, craft brew, or you can get in at a much more family-friendly price. And in some cases, teams are cutting prices dramatically that have attendance issues. In Houston, they have a beautiful downtown soccer stadium. They're not filling it up regularly, so they just rolled out a 713 special on some of their games, which is reflective of it's a tribute to the area code, but also $7 tickets. Well, I think $1 hot dogs, $3 beers, I believe, is going to be the special. So that gives you an idea of how affordable it can be in some circumstances.
Hell, I'm going down for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, let's put it here, 704. So the middle one's zero.
Zero. So that's exactly right. So, or it could be 919.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So is it safe to say, Jim, that if Major League Soccer ever arrives here, the owner of that team will be David Tepper? Or do you still see a pathway to joining with others to be part of an ownership group?
We sort of take that as it comes. Obviously, if somebody approached us, we'd have, you know, ears open.
Would David Tepper want to do this on his own? Or I mean, he already has. Yeah, services company, and he has the Panthers. I would think his plate's pretty full. Would he want to take on this by himself?
I don't think he likes to have partners.
As his NFL purchase showed. Yeah. No partners. I'll just write you a check for 2.3. And
yeah, I don't think he would have any interest in having us as a partner. Okay. I wouldn't even have interest in having me as a partner.
So after David Tepper came down the escalator at Trump Tower.
Oh, boy.
After he made his first announcement, he came to the day after he bought the team, he had a press conference in which he made a mention of soccer. Has he said anything about soccer since?
Yes, he said something about MLS almost every time he has spoken publicly or spoken with reporters. So, in fact, he made some remarks this week at the NFL owners' meetings in Phoenix. So it doesn't seem to be something that's going away. And again, I go back to the hire of his team president having all of that soccer experience. I think that's a big clue, too.
We'll talk more about MLS coming to town, what the possibilities of that are, and about David Tepper's interest in it, as far as we know it, when we come back in a moment. Jim McPhillamy is here. He's the president of Charlotte Independence and the Charlotte Hounds, among others. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're here talking about MLS soccer and its potential of arrival in Charlotte, or are trying to get it to come here. Pulling it in on a rope. Charles Bohm is with us. He's a writer for MLSsoccer.com and SoccerWire. Eric Spanberg, managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal, who writes about this, the business aspect of all this regularly. And Jim McPhillamy, who's the president of the Charlotte Independence, our United, is that right? The United Soccer League.
USL, yep.
Team in town already. Owning and operating an MLS and an NFL team, do those two sports mesh? Putting them in the same stadium, does that mesh? How will that work?
Well, Charles made some reference to this of how you have unique situations around MLS, because there was a point where I believe it was Columbus was the first soccer-specific stadium that you had in MLS. That was a big step because really soccer had been an afterthought. You just throw it in a football stadium or wherever you could find a place for them to play. So MLS then began encouraging new cities to have a soccer-specific stadium. Most of the teams now do, but that NFL aspect has kicked in, pardon the pun, to a heavy degree when you look at some of the franchises. New England, the Patriots owner, also owns the Revolution, the team there. We've talked about that team in the 404, mm-hmm. Atlanta, playing in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We've talked about Seattle, obviously playing where the Seahawks play. So it is a matter somewhat of convenience and means, but it has been shown to be very viable if you have the right management, the right promotion, and the right audience. So, yeah, it can work.
So Charles writes for two publications at least, so he's closer to the net worth of David Tepper than the rest of us.
Yes.
So let me ask you, Charles. If you're David Tepper and you already own an NFL team, why do you want Major League Soccer on your plate?
Yeah, so I would start by injecting a bit of a cautionary note here. It's up until some of the recent cases we talked about, the league was wary of these big stadiums. There's a number of issues here. One, again, the bad old days and the early years of MLS were marked by, you know, relatively small crowds kind of rattling around in these big oversized stadiums, which led to the soccer-specific stadium boom. It's not just the appearance of a small crowd in a big venue. It's also field space. You know, if you are a tenant rather than the owner of your own facility, you know, the NFL team is almost always going to come first. It's going to get the scheduling decisions. Even when it comes down to something as seemingly mundane as the playing surface itself, soccer fans hate to see gridiron lines. They want those to get scrubbed off. Yeah. And surprisingly enough, it can be a real problem to make all those things coexist to have the product for soccer be right.
I would think the reverse is true for the NFL, too. They don't want to see what it looks like a soccer pitch on their field.
Yeah, well, I think – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say there are very different sensibilities on the playing surface, for example. You know, mm-hmm. the NFL coach is like a different sort of surface than a soccer coach would want. So that's an example. And I think that Tepper will have to show that he has a plan for making it a strong MLS venue in addition to NFL. He's not just going to get a blank check or a sign-off. Because, for example, down at MBS, they have these curtains that drop down to cover up the upper decks. They don't have the full capacity in use at every soccer game because the idea is to create a more intimate environment so that it doesn't seem like you're in a half-empty place.
I was going to say, just comment, you know, most of these things, he paid, you know, 2-point-whatever billion for the team. It's all a real estate play nowadays. So many people, if you look at what they're doing down at Tampa, or if you look like there's the Miami Open tennis tournaments taking place in Hard Rock Stadium, in the NFL stadium right now, mm-hmm. They're trying to turn these things into multi-use facilities that have real estate development around them. You already look at it with the training facility, and Eric wrote a good article on what they're going to get for sponsorship there, and then they're going to build hotels around that, and they're going to build restaurants, and they're going to do all this. You know, Tom Glick didn't leave Man City to come over here to just run a soccer team and an NFL team. They're going to do huge
and
things.
And it's almost criminal to have a big stadium like that, use it 10 times a year. You have to put something in that thing more often than that. We've talked about where these teams, these MLS teams, have located, where they have been incredibly successful. What has been the economic impact of their arrival in those cities where they have been successful?
That's a good question. I don't have a specific figure for you, Mike, but I think it would be probably at this point verging into the territory of NBA, maybe. They don't have as many games, but it's a similar type size crowd. Ticket prices are a little bit less. So you're certainly helping the restaurants, the businesses right around the stadium. You know, economists fight about this all the time, about all sports.
Right.
But certainly, I think you have that aspect. And then you also have the public relations intangible piece of it that drives critics crazy and that makes the supporters very giddy.
So in the Business Journal, you wrote, Eric, that MLS Commissioner Don Garber says he is, quote, intrigued by Charlotte and by David Tepper. Is he intrigued by Charlotte because he's really intrigued by David Tepper?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. They had their eye on Charlotte before because it's a growing city, it's geographically well-placed, blah, blah, blah. But I think that the David Tepper aspect of it really got their attention. And by the way, Mike, it is kind of interesting. Charles made the joke about Raleigh because, you know, Raleigh had an interest in MLS. I think they still do, but but it doesn't seem maybe to have the momentum that is going on right here. It helps to have a billionaire. But when you look at the cities that are coming on right now, so Cincinnati was added this year, then Nashville, Miami, a little bit of an outlier, but Austin, these are cities that are very comparable to Charlotte in a number of ways in terms of size, in terms of what they have. So I think it does make sense that MLS would be looking at a city like ours.
Well, let's talk about the other city who shall not be named, Raleigh. they were planning a bid when our county commission said no to funding the stadium, and they thought at that point in time that they were then out front because we took ourselves out of the running. And I don't know how old this article I read yesterday was, and I don't know where the thing stands at the moment, but recently I'm told that North Carolina FC, that's the soccer club in Cary, put in a request for Wake County sales taxes to fund $11 million a year for 30 years to fund a new MLS stadium. Is that in action at the moment, and do we know what Wake County's response to that request has been?
I'm going to give you a partial answer and then let Jim take over because he knows those guys well. But the most recent thing I saw regarding that proposal is that the owner, is it Steve Malik, I think is his name, has said that it's not entirely dependent on MLS, that in other words, they could stay with a USL team and do that project. And what that project says is what Jim just outlined, which is a real estate play as much as a sports play. But I'll let Jim go into the specifics of NCFC.
You know, Steve's a friend. Obviously, we're rivals as well. He's been working on sort of the same plan that I have, but he's got less billionaires picking on him. So, over there, I think if you look at Louisville, which is a great market for the USL, they're playing in a baseball stadium right now, but they consistently draw, 9,000-10,000 fans to the baseball stadium. They're building a new $20 million, $30 million stadium, but they're going to do $70 million worth of real estate development around it in their downtown. So pretty much the game that everybody's playing is you're not just owning a team, you're owning an entertainment venue, and you're trying to draw real estate development around that makes that a new, if you could imagine, Panther Stadium programmed for 70 nights a year with all kinds of different stuff, and then the practice fields are all of a sudden hotels and bars, and, that whole entire area over there is completely transformed. Right. I think that's the vision that most of the people have now.
In the eyes of Major League Soccer, has Charlotte's image been tainted in any way by the failed bids that we put forward and the fact that they maybe thought we're going to get a stadium down there, but then the county commission backed out? Have we been tainted by that, or does all that go away in the face of David Tepper?
I think they don't like me, but, but I think Charlotte's fine.
Well, it is funny, though, Mike. It did absolutely, Charlotte took a huge step back after that thing came unraveled, and then it really doesn't take a whole lot more.
Now it's money talks.
Yeah, money talks. It's a good market, but then you put a billionaire next to it, and I think people became much more comfortable very quickly.
So I made a leap in the very beginning of the program when I said not only does David Tepper interested in Major League Soccer, he has a stadium to put it in. That's a leap. I don't know that he wants to put it in there, but it makes sense that he would. But would it be better for economic development to put the stadium in Rock Hill with the practice facility and the headquarters, and if that works, leverage to move the Panther?
I don't think they're going to do that. Now, I never put anything past a sports team owner because you just shouldn't. But Tepper has been pretty consistent about saying that he likes the Panthers playing exactly where they are. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll be in that particular stadium forever. We're going to have a stadium fight at some point. I just don't think that we're there yet.
Then if he snags an MLS team and they start playing at Bank of America Stadium and it does well, does that give him more leverage to come to the city, the county, the state and say, we need a better stadium for these two teams?
I don't think he could I don't think he needs any more leverage. I mean, I think when you have an NFL team, seriously, I mean, the NFL is the most popular and lucrative sport in the world, sports league in the world, even more than the English Premier League. The average franchise is worth $2.6 billion, you know, at least 75% of the top 100 programs, not sports, top 100 programs on television, most watched are NFL games. So for all the problems that football has, it's still just such a colossus as a business that he'll be okay.
Let me turn this around for a second. It never occurred to me to talk about this, but let's talk about it, Charles. Soccer is, the most popular sport in the world outside yes. of the United States. And the NFL has been playing games in London. They've been playing them, I think, in Japan occasionally to broaden the fan base of the National Football League. Is that like spitting into the wind for the NFL? But do people overseas understand, want, like American football, or are they into football?
Well, there's certainly pockets of interest in gridiron football. You see, they get good crowds in Mexico City and London, and London's been consistent enough for them to you know, make noises about moving a team there permanently. But I still think it's a little bit of it's an attraction rather than a part of daily life. What distinguishes soccer around the world, and what successful teams in this country do, is weave themselves into the thread of the community. Teams like Barcelona, Liverpool, Manchester United, they're global powerhouses, not just because they're big and wealthy and successful. There's this deep connection to their community that they have. They've grown up with these stadiums downtown, with generations upon generations.
Yeah, but is that substantially different? Is that substantially different from what you would experience in Buffalo, where the Bills have played forever, and I believe the team is partially that's Green Bay. Where the team is partially owned by citizens. Is it different from what I grew up with, where everybody in Washington was a Redskin fan, or here for that matter, with the Panthers?
Well, I think one thing that's different, if I can cut in for just a second, is going back to those international matches that tour the states in the summer. I mean, when Liverpool comes here, I mean, I don't know, two-thirds of the stadium, they're all decked out in red. They're singing the song. I don't know that if you took the Panthers to – of course, the Panthers are going to London this upcoming season. But if you just randomly put the Panthers in Scotland or Ireland or somewhere in Europe, I don't know that people would, you know, know Sir Purr and know all the chants and everything.
So what you're saying is that soccer has – the key soccer teams have a worldwide following.
Yeah, and they've been so smart. I mean, not that the NFL is not good at marketing, but the soccer teams have been so smart about establishing those beachheads far, far away from where they play.
So the other queen city, Cincinnati, became home to MLS in recent years, and MLS Commissioner Don Garber wasn't sure that they were a soccer city. And you're saying, if I heard you correctly, Charles, that's proven to be the case. They are a soccer city. It's successful in Cincinnati. Is that right?
Yeah, they've really done it. They've gone from an expansion. I believe they started their USL in just 2015, maybe.
They're a year after us.
Yeah, so, and in that short time, it helps again. They have a billionaire, bankrolling and keeping that allowed them to subsidize ticket prices. I mean, I think they had really, really affordable tickets, especially for their supporters section. They really reached out.
$2 tickets.
And drawing, and what that did was, they probably lost the money in the short term, but they built a following. They cultivated among students. They're playing until their new stadium is built on the West End. They're playing at University of Cincinnati Stadium. They're in a good location. They really tried to make it part of young people's lives. And when I talk to smart soccer marketers, they talk about aspirational marketing. So you want to create that soccer-specific vibe of supporters, of young people cheering and, you know, maybe drinking and being loud and boisterous in one section, and still create a space for families to feel comfortable, and then look over at that environment and see, have kids grow up wanting to be in that supporter section when they grow up, and kind of create that idea of a multi-generational experience, because that's what soccer does at its best.
So, very quick question, are there similarities between the two queen cities?
Yes, yeah, in terms of size and some of the corporate presence, yes. I think
what have business leaders and government leaders been saying about the prospect of David Tepper being successful in bringing Major League Soccer?
I think when you say David Tepper, they say yes.
Okay. What would you say to soccer fans, to David Tepper or any other people who would make an ownership group up in Charlotte to bring soccer here, about what they need to do to drive this home?
I don't think I need to tell him anything. just don't forget about the little guy.
You're very amicable about this. I don't think I would be. I'd be fighting this tooth and nail if I were you. Is this just like it's going to happen, so I'm just going to be amicable? I'm amicable.
I actually believe that, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, good luck.
But in the meantime, there are independence games.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. In the meantime, get out to an independence game.
Jim McPhillamy owns and is the president of the Charlotte Independents and the Charlotte Hounds. Eric Spanberg, managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal. And thanks to Charles Bohm, writer for MLSsoccer.com and SoccerWire. Thank you all for the hour. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.